Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Are you looking for answers about someone and you've hit a dead end? There is an online tool that can help you locate almost anyone within minutes. TruthFinder can help you locate almost anyone in the U.S. with fast, comprehensive public records background checks. You can confidentially search by phone number, address, name, email, and more. Go to truthfinder.com to get answers to your questions now. That's truthfinder.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, welcome back for another season of So You're in Seattle, a podcast talking to people who are in Seattle. Nailed it with that title, huh? I'm Gregor, I'm the host, I do mornings at 107.7 The End, and this was a chance to go a little bit longer form, be able to have some conversations with people that do interesting things, either passing through or living near and in Seattle. Pretty straightforward. Well, we're back. It's been a while since I've had any episodes, but a lot of cool stuff lined up for this season. We're going to try and do them several episodes at a time here, and then, I don't know, save up some more interviews. We've had a bunch of them. Some really great people from big names like Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers, Hosier. Who else? Jack White, I think I posted that one. Death Cab for Cutie. But then also just people who do rad stuff around Seattle who are just like either troublemaking or making art or doing something fun. So if you ever have a suggestion, you can always holler at me. I'm at Hey Gregor on Twitter or just through 1077theend.com. So without further ado, he's Mike Seibert, and he's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, So You're in Seattle with Gregor.
Mike is the host of the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast, but he's also really crazy for Transformers. He tells me about taking a trip where they build into their trip that they're going to, he and his wife, that they're going to go to a Transformers convention in Toronto. Well, it turns out that there's also one here in Seattle. Now, if you're listening to this real time, it's this weekend it's happening, Cybefest Northwest 2019. Cybe like Cybertron. Cybefest Northwest 2019. You can find all the info at cybefestnw.com or on Facebook, cybefestnw. That's C-Y-B-F-E-S-T-N-W. Again, even if you're not listening to this real time or you catch this after the event has happened, it's fantastic. It's fascinating to hear all the different things about Transformers specifically. We go into all these iterations of the Decepticons. What do you call the big Transformer where they all form into one super Transformer? Just the Decepticons have the Constructicons, and they form Devastator. Oh, man, I got awesome pictures of it. 1077theend.com to see that. But Mike is really into Transformers, and that really comes across here. We do a little bit of talk about growing up doing radio in Seattle at KGRG, which is the community radio station of Green River Community College. A lot of great info there as well. If you're thinking about getting into broadcasting, this might be your avenue. Mike's a great guy. He's really, really into what he likes. You'll see that here, or hear that here, rather. I don't know. Let's just jump right in. I saw a picture of you. It's probably like the obvious picture of you, yeah. But you're wearing a KGRG shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's your background?
I am a KGRG kid. It's interesting because like I'll see like memories on Facebook or Time Hop or something like that.
Sure.
Where from the KGRG era, and it's like, oh, buddy. I really enjoyed my time at KGRG, and I'm sure a lot of the KGRG kids running around in here. And
there was definitely an era where there was like all the metal shop guys or KGRG guys.
Oh yeah,
there's an era that gave us a lot of talent around here, which mm-hmm. is pretty neat.
And it's one of those things where obviously I'm going to be the biggest cheerleader for my thing, but it's the best radio program in the state, I would say, because you take what you're learning in the classroom mm-hmm. and applying it live on the air. So like you can go to the Murrow School, nothing against the Murrow School. It's great. They don't have a station for you to work on.
Sure.
So
it's always been my concern, or not my concern, but my complaint about when people tell me they go to broadcast school, yeah. I'm like, why?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But here you have a legitimate avenue to try it out. And people take it pretty seriously. Like bands come through and like people doing interviews and performances. And it's like.
Absolutely.
So anyone that's not familiar, KGRG is the Green River Community College broadcast program, their own frequency that they have. And it's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. And I've spoken in front of people before for it. And we've had people come work here. And it's a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. And so it's super cool.
It's a great program. Highly recommended.
When did you go?
I graduated in 17, so I started in summer of 15.
Sure.
Did the 2-year program. Took all the requisite classes. Kind of cut my teeth out on the air, and learned a whole lot of stuff. And again, that's what makes that environment so great is that you can make mistakes, you can have successes, you can have failures, and the equipment that we use at KGRG is very similar to the stuff that we're using here. Maybe a little older. In fact, I'm pretty sure their automation system we got at KSW's yard sale back in the day. it's all, pots and levers and
sliders. You're learning on real stuff.
It's real stuff. Yeah, yeah. And everything that you learn is 100% transferable.
So I went to the University of Arizona.
Okay.
And I did camp student radio there. And at mm-hmm. the time, it was like a mixing board. This is only for radio nerds right now, right?
right.
There's like a mixing board and then a couple microphones and a couple like, CD players that you'd have in your home entertainment rack back in the late 90s.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so it felt really junky. It was like very, like there was no on-off switch on the microphone. You like turned it up and it was, and the gain was already on there. And so you're it was not, and I was already doing commercial radio at the same time. I just wanted a way to pick up some credits and have a little fun or whatever. And after like 6 weeks, I was like, no, I can't handle how bad it is. So for there to be a place that kids can go and get a shot at this and get some real experience is so cool.
Well, and the thing that I'll keep singing the praises of is that it's, so you'll have robust college programs where, as we already said, you don't even get to touch a board or even get to crack a mic. And then there are great college stations that they hire out professional staff, from the jocks to the programmers, everybody. One thing that makes KGRG so special and so iconic is that it is 100% student run, student managed, student staff. From the program director down to the jocks, we're all students just trying to find our way. We have one faculty advisor that just happens to be our general manager that's there to protect the shield and kind of keep the FCC off of us. But outside of that, from the music selection to the production, everything is done in house, and it really is radio for the kids by the kids.
What's the frequency again?
89.9 FM.
Anything under 92.0 is community, and so you get away with a little bit more also, but you have to prove yourself a little bit harder too as a community station.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got to do a lot of public affairs programming, so tune in on Sunday mornings for that.
I know I host ours for the cluster here, so I know exactly what you're talking
about. Absolutely. And And last thing I wanted to mention on KGRG is, you know, you mentioned the frequency. You know, once you start driving away from the campus at Green River in Auburn, it starts getting a little fadey. But in the digital age that we're in now, you can get KGRG literally around the world. Yeah. It is streaming at the website, KGRG.com. There's a free app for both Apple and your Android devices, so you can take it with you, get it wherever you go, and it's great stuff. And my favorite thing is just tuning in, because you don't know who's going to be on the air. It could be like a seasoned jock that's, you know, it's like maybe an alumni that's come back and want to, you know, kind of snap the neck and kind of see if they're still limber. Or it would be just like a first week kid, because we put you on in week two of classes.
Cool.
So and there's something uniquely satisfying about hearing somebody saying, my name is Mike, and this is KGRG, and now this is front bottom. KGRG.
It's awesome though.
It's great. I love it. It just makes my heart feel good just to hear those baby DJs you know, making their bones.
And you make me want to go there and, like, this is like sounds like very kind of douchebaggery of me, but it makes me want to go there and see if I can do anything to help, like speak to someone, mentor someone, do something, or help out with a program in some capacity. I've got a toddler though also right now. So maybe
gotcha.
In a couple years.
Well, I was gonna say maybe offline. I'll give you some names and some contact info, because they're always looking for really cool resources and really cool folks, and I'd think that would fit in with your vibe and what you're all about. So
okay, so you've gone from doing KGRG to the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast, which I think is really interesting, because the idea that you call it radio,
right?
Because you treat it like a talk radio show, but it's in podcast form. And
correct.
So for someone like me, I guess the easiest way to say this is when Adam Carolla went off the air.
Yeah.
And he immediately transitioned to the podcast world. Mm-hmm. And now it's like so far down the road that I can't, like, I've been out of it for a long enough time. But like when I would listen to it, it felt like listening to the radio on demand. And so it was
absolutely
exactly what I wanted. Your show kind of sounds like that. 200 plus episodes.
Yeah, we just recently crossed episode 200 not too long ago.
That's crazy, dude.
And really what it was, I mean, just to go back a little bit, origin story, where Mike Seibert Radio as a podcast started was I would record my on-air shifts at KGRG.
Why not?
So like the first 100 or so episodes were KGRG radio shows where we're doing live radio, and it was just the rotating cast of characters of, you know, people come and go as each academic quarter comes and goes, and it was great fun. And what I found is once my time at KGRG ended, it was like a week or two and I started getting itchy. It's like, you know, that itch when you haven't talked into a microphone for more than a little bit, you start getting that itch. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I've paid my hosting fee. I'm paid out through the rest of the year, so I may as well. Let me just do something. And I've always liked the texture of talk radio. That's one of the formats. And it was so funny because, like, I was halfway through my academic studies at Green River College, where I realized that I wasn't so much into music radio as I was into talk radio.
Sure.
Because I would get into like these discussions. I'm reluctant to use the word argument with my instructors. They'd be like, you know what? As a DJ, it's your job to, you know, you can either be background wallpaper, or you can add to the experience, or your presence can just drive away listeners. And I was like, but I tune in for the personalities. Not to put too fine a point on it, but I don't care about the music. I just want to hear what the person on the other end of the mic that's curating and selecting that music has to say.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt, but just recently somebody asked me, just last week, somebody was like, if there was one artist or song that you could get rid of and never hear again, what would it be on the end? And I may in the sense, again, I'm 2 for 2 on sounding like a D-bag here, but I am in it for the performance of it. I love making radio.
Right.
I don't do this for the music anymore. There was a time when I was younger and I was really into it for the music. And now as I get older, I like to hear my own voice. I like the entertainment aspect of it. And right. So this person who asked me that, I was like, listen, there's not an artist, like, in theory, we should be playing at a commercial radio station music that makes us win. And so if there's a song that's bad that's not doing that, then get rid of it. But other than that, I don't care. Like, the song that annoys me the most is still important.
Right.
I just want to get to the point where I can say my dumb things in between the songs and then give you the next song that you wanted to hear without having to, like, really stamp my musical taste all over everybody.
Right, right.
And so
exactly.
I can relate to what you're saying about wanting to just to be a performer and to be a radio host rather than a DJ.
Yeah, well, and that connection with the audience also.
Yeah.
And that's why I stuck with the name, you know, just Mike Seibert Radio, because, like, I know a lot of, I mean, everybody's got a podcast now, right? You know, it's the new hotness. Everybody's doing it. And anybody with a telephone can do a podcast.
Yeah.
The barrier is really low in a good way.
Yeah, I mean the recording capability of your smartphone is bananas now. Like, you could get your, for instance, if you have an Apple iPhone and you have the Apple iPhone headphones, the microphone is good enough on there to be able to record a pretty decent audio quality in order to make your own podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, I've done some on-site interviews from, like, convention floors or at music venues. They're like, oh man, what'd you use? That sounded so great. I'm like, I shoved my phone in his face and it's fine.
They cancel background noise really well.
Yeah.
So anybody listening that wants to do their own podcast and hear themselves talk, then you can most definitely
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
We'll both be happy to help you get to that path.
Absolutely. And my advice is just do it.
Yeah.
You know, channel your inner Shia LaBeouf and just do it. You know, make your dreams come true and just, you know, all of that. But with Mike Seibert Radio, I thought, you know, like, rather than coming up with a goofy name or whatever, the hook of the show, or what the show is me.
Yeah.
It's, I'm the only me. You know, you're the only you. And that's what I wanted to present, was just my perspective on things.
Great.
Maybe I'll do the same news stories that everyone else does, but it's from my angle. And I'm sure there's nobody else talking about, like, the combination of, like, you know, independent artists and Transformers and whatever else that just happens to be on my mind. And that's what I call it. It's just stuffing things that are on my mind every week.
Okay, so this is a great transition, because the way that we all got linked up here is that we have a mutual friend called Nick.
Yes.
And he's been trying to get me to talk about Cybefest.
Yes.
For the last couple of years. I talk about it on the radio that it's this weekend or whatever, but I've never had a chance to sit down with you and actually properly talk to the person responsible for Cybefest. Cybe being Cybertron, the home planet of the Transformers?
Yes, exactly. So it's the Cybertronian Festival. It's the unofficial Transformers convention here in the Pacific Northwest.
You're very careful to say unofficial, so that way the Hasbro folks don't come after you or whoever's responsible for them at this point.
Well, and I've chatted with some of the other show organizers, because basically my involvement with Cybefest is relatively recent.
Is it something that started before you?
Yeah. Yeah. So there was like a CybeCon and some other stuff that's kind of grown and developed. Whereas Cybefest is now in its fifth year, and this will be my second year being involved with them. So and really kind of
are
what
you officially, like, are you when I'm talking to you, do you officially represent Cybefest today, or are you just as a
so for point of clarification, I'm a participant, a super fan, but I it's not my show specifically.
Okay.
So it's like I have connections with the folks that are putting on the show, but it's not specifically my show. So
will they be stoked that you're here talking about
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you know, I've messaged folks. I'm like, hey man, I'm going to talk to Gregor and we're going to, you know, hype the show and, you know, see if we can get some butts in seats. I'm going to bring some stuff with me and it's going to be super cool in there.
For anyone listening right now that's involved, we're happy to have Mike here to be able to talk about this. And if I mention that it's Mike's thing, we understand that it's the greater Cybefest is not. But if we speak that way, if we generalize, forgive me.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
Okay, great. And that's cleared up now. Good.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
Very good.
So I guess there's a million questions that I have to go off of being a Transformers fan to the point of helping put on a festival. First of all, have you considered saying that you're home for Mike Seibert Radio is Cybertron.
You know what? It's interesting that you mentioned that, because that Sabertron.com is a long-standing Transformers website.
Oh my God.
And it's the same spelling as mine. It's S-E-I-B-E-R-T. And I discovered that like when I was like, oh, I don't know, in my mid-30s or something like that. I was like, who are these people? And then they have a podcast. They have like a huge online fan presence. And I was like, oh, I guess I can't do that.
So, because, I'm just saying, you could change it from Fife, Washington, or Federal Way, Washington, sorry, to Cybertron, Washington. I'm just putting that out there for you.
I see what
just
you're
on the pun level there. Okay.
I like that.
I promise no more puns. Okay. I promise that I've gotten my dad jokes out of the way.
I was like, don't make promises you can't keep.
You're right. So you just revealed to me an interesting point, because yes. I'm always curious about this, yep. Like where your involvement with Transformers begins. So if you said in my mid-30s, suggesting that you are not in your mid-30s now.
Right.
That means that you go back to the first generation Transformers.
Correct.
We're talking 1986 feature film Transformers. We're talking like the original series, terrible and excellent all at the same time.
Oh my gosh, exactly. And you hit on a few things that are huge touchstones for me. First of all, that 1986 movie, and this is where I'm taking all my cards and we're spilling the tea. That's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm stuck on a desert island, that's the DVD I'm taking with me. I unironically love that movie, from like the animation to the storytelling to the music. I mean, it's just got like this insane synthesizer heavy prog rock soundtrack to it.
People wish they could make that now.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get into arguments with folks. They'll say like, well, you know, that G.I. Joe movie is better. It's like, really? No, it really.
Oh, we're gonna do this right now?
Yeah, exactly. It's like. I mean, I'll go to the mat with you, but but it won't go well for you.
Do you remember watching the original show that first year on TV, like in the afternoons, Cartoon Hour, whatever it was?
Yeah, I have a few specific iconic memories that I can call on. One, so my birthday is in September, and in September of 1984, my very first Transformer that I got was Soundwave. The cassette,
the boombox, yeah,
exactly. And so I remember very vividly unwrapping him. It was like him and a whole bunch of Star Wars guys. I got like the Ewok village and like the Tauntaun that you can like rip his stuff open and shove Luke in there. And
cool. I didn't know they made that. That's
it.
Cool.
It was a rad birthday. And I also remember watching on like a Saturday morning, and it was the first episode of the first series. And I remember like the trippy music and just the weird visuals and just being gobstruck by it. And I think that's what really kind of put me on that path to the fandom, to where I never shook it. It's a fandom that's always been with me in one capacity or the other.
Mm-hmm. Now, so I grew up at that same era. I have almost the same experience to you. I had the Optimus Prime with the trailer and everything. Yeah. And like, it was a big deal. That show was really critical in my development in terms of like stereotypical boy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Playing Transformers while my friend Jamie played Princess was like a thing that we did all the time.
Okay.
So like, I have like strong memories about, now I'm going to transform into a car. And then running around in the backyard with my hands like a, you know, like a tail flap or something like that. Yeah. Or like, no, I'm a jet. You know, that type of thing. Like, I have like very distinct silly memories of doing that stuff.
It sounds on point, by the way. Good
Thank
job.
You. Thank you. But then I remember my mom taking me to see the movie, and my poor mom having to sit there and be like, she didn't give a, she wanted to see the bridges of Madison County.
Oh man.
Not Transformers, where Unicron shows up, right. And like, how could you not want to watch this?
It's Academy Award winner Orson Welles, for goodness sake. Come on, man.
But also props to her for having taken me and sat through it. That's very nice. Then it dropped off. Like, I don't know. Transformers kind of went away after a while.
Yeah.
And I know that it had other iterations, mm-hmm. but until Michael Bay made it like kind of this like silly and then overdone transforming thing, like it was just gone. And so there was like a huge nostalgia factor. Even for me, I went and saw it in the theaters. Yeah. And I was like, I'd say I was largely disappointed because of I wanted to see the 1986 movie.
Exactly.
Only with like you know, like live action robots.
Yeah, with that level of special effects, but telling that story or something very similar to it, or like an actual story where we're not, you know, sexually exploiting people or being a super racist or just being basically Michael Bay about it.
My friend asked me to, he made a great point about, he said that I should just say, so Megan Fox, am I right? But that's what it became about, is that yeah. It was just like oily Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf being like, I don't know. And then like these giant robots, which were hilarious. They were like really well voiced and really well acted and stuff. But I didn't like the robots because it wasn't Megatron. It was this like weird spiky thing or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So my question, we get there. Are you a fan of Transformers in its entirety, or are you a kind of a specific kind of few generations, or is it somewhere in between?
That is an excellent question, and anybody you talk to will give you a million different answers. So I would like to say that I'm a fan of the brand.
Okay.
But I do have my touchstones, and my jam is that 86 movie. So if they'll say, well, Mike, what's the one thing in Transformers fandom that you call to, and it's always going to be the movie? Probably.
Preach.
Yeah, exactly. So like, but right after that would be the contemporary comic books from IDW. Those are really, really good because it takes, you know, contemporary sensibilities and applies it to these crazy robots. And one of my favorite things about Transformers fandom as it currently is that it spans multiple generations. And it's one of the most inclusive fandoms that you'll find.
Oh, cool.
Like I, you know, and touching on these comic books for a bit, there are queer identifying characters. There are trans characters in there, and it's representative in a big bad way in a lot of ways that kind of legacy fiction really doesn't get to. And since they're robots, you can tell all of these different stories. It's like, you know, you can do a whole story arc about somebody's gender identity. And
well, yeah, because you can take a step away from the actual problems that we have as humans and personify it with robots that have different, that are imaginary. So you can have like I think that I was listening to you talk about this on an episode of the Mike Seibert radio podcast about people wanting to, like, when you go back and you modernize Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And suddenly you got this black kid that's playing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. People are not okay with that because they're inherently unwilling to change / racist.
Yeah.
And that you make a girl play a character that would otherwise be a male, or the girl doesn't have unreal boobs or something like
exactly.
that. And like the traditionalist fans are not happy with that. To mm-hmm. you, I say go back and read your traditional comics then. And
exactly.
These things change. And just like I'm not going to see the new Transformers movie because I think that they suck. That doesn't mean that I can't still like the old stuff that I came up with, and that I don't have to apologize for the things that have changed.
Right.
Like, I don't want to get too into it, but it's good to hear that the comic book kind of can grow up.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, then don't follow it.
Then find something else. Yeah. And, you know, there's something for everybody. Like, I mean, there's a, you know, like Transformers Armada is almost 20 years old at this point, you know, stuff from like the early 2000s.
Sure.
And of course you have like the Beast Wars era that a lot of 90s kids have a whole ton of nostalgia for, where they will go to the mat and say, well, that's my Transformers.
Yeah, great.
And it's like, cool, I'm happy for you. It's not my cup of tea, but I won't fight you on it.
I'm just glad that you love it so much that it doesn't fade away.
Right.
That's what I'm more interested in, is that like it was powerful enough to you that it's not mine, but it also was good enough for that to live on.
Yeah.
So that Transformers as a whole continues.
Well, and to share also, it's like one of the most satisfying experiences that I have going to Transformers conventions, whether it's a TFCon or a CybFest coming up, is walking in there and seeing so many folks that don't look anything like me.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's like, so, you know, I've like a bad pint of milk. I've recently turned. I've had that landmark birthday. You know, it's like turning into a vampire or werewolf or something. But
I'll be there soon.
And I would imagine that going back, that folks like me would be kind of like the primary demographic for that type of fiction. And it's not. It's young women. It's girls, it's boys, it's, yeah, you know, and again, folks of different gender identities, and all of them will point to something that's completely different to what I point to as, quote unquote, doing air quotes on a podcast, my Transformers, and we'll all just have that mutual love of the brand, because there's something that's so iconic about this concept and these characters and that characterization, because I mean it's just classic heroic stuff, good versus evil, and something that you can, you know, latch on to.
So what I want from things that have legacy,
yeah,
is I want the person who says Michael Jordan's the best ever and the person who says LeBron James is the best ever, and then I can go and hear both of them talk about it.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, those are two really great basketball players. I don't know anything about basketball. I just know that that's like kind of like one of the arguments people have.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I grew up in the era where Michael Jordan was dominant. I was a little kid and like, wow, everyone knew who Michael Jordan was. He was literally a household name.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know that he would be for kids that are watching the new Transformers movies and stuff. Like, right. LeBron James, though, is now that name that happens. And so,
well,
I don't need people on opposite sides of the convention being like, no, that guy's wrong. This one's the best.
Right.
I want everyone to be like, well, this guy's awesome of this generation. And so for you to like the 86 movie to be like your thing and to come in and be like, listen, young people, this is why this one's so dope.
Right.
And for them to be like, well, Beast Wars was cool by this. And you can be like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because like I have a good friend of mine that is, because of his age, he's super into those Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him, but listening to him talk about it, it's like, well, I can't take that away from you. I can't take a dump on it, even though I'd really like to, because I, in case you can't tell from our tone, not a fan. Yeah. I don't mind that first one. It's kind of okay.
It's fun.
But steep cliff after that.
I just want them, and I haven't seen the, I don't know if it's out or if it happened already, the Bumblebee one where like they have like Soundwave looks like Soundwave should.
And like sounds like Soundwave.
And so I'm all for, if someone wants to make Megatron and like the proportions don't work where he's a giant talking robot and then he transforms into a handgun that another robot holds, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I could totally handle that would happen, because you have to suspend disbelief because you're already talking about talking robots.
Yeah, exactly. Alien robots.
So if they would have gone all in on making my childhood into the present, it might have still sucked or whatever, but at least I would be like, damn. The whole time. So.
Exactly.
But hey, if that is your thing, great. Like, I'm not here to be like, that's, I do think it sucks, but I'm not here to be like, who am I to tell anyone else what is good or bad? Like,
right.
Bring it. Come on. Let's all have that conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And side tangent, go watch that Bumblebee movie. There's a lot for you there.
Is it good?
I think you'd dig it.
Great.
I think you would dig
it. Like I said, I didn't even know that it came out. I like missed the whole bus on that. Let me just shout this out real quick. It's Cybefest Northwest 2019, July 27th at the Kent Commons Community Center. Listen, the details are at CYB, that's CybefestNW.com, or on Facebook, search for Cybefest, CYBFESTNW. And to be able to find out the details and just kind of like learn more about this, because it seems super crazy, crazy in a positive way.
Yeah.
Like you have this like Transformers thing. How many people do you think come to a Transformers festival in a day in Kent, Washington? A
couple hundred.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, a couple hundred. Because like early in the morning, you'll get like your bargain hunters coming in. And then later. And so actually, so talking about Cybefest a little bit, there's something for everybody.
Okay.
You know, like, so it's predominantly a dealer show.
Oh,
and
okay.
And that, like, you know, vendors and exhibitors from all over the Pacific Northwest will be coming in to have their tables set up, kind of like a swap meet type of thing.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you've also got artists. Voice actor David Kay is going to be the guest of honor. He voiced Megatron in the Beast Wars cartoon.
Cool.
And then also Optimus Prime in the Transformers animated cartoon. So he's one of the few guys that's voiced both characters.
That's cool. Both good and evil.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a super cool dude. I've met him a couple times.
Who was the original Optimus Prime voice?
Peter Cullen.
Is he still alive?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he does the Prime. He did the Prime in the movies, didn't he?
Yeah. The classic one, he's like, my name is Optimus Prime.
Yeah, yeah, he's great.
And that was like the one thing that the Michael Bay movies did right, is bringing Peter Cullen on and, you know, just kind of doing that iconic, warm Optimus Prime voice.
Yeah.
And it is kind of funny, though, because like one of my disappointments with those movies is that the dialogue they give him is so terrible. So he's
so
like,
corny.
He's like, my name is Optimus Prime. I'm going to tear your face off. I will kill them all. And I'm like, I don't think Optimus Prime is supposed to say stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
Give me your face as he tears a dude's face off, murdering unarmed prisoners and stuff. It's bad. But anyway, like at a Cybefest, there's a really good kids area. There's a couple tables set up with just loose random Transformers for kids to play with.
Cool.
There's a couple trivia contests, costume contests.
Who are these dealers? Are they like, do they own toy stores or are they just private collectors? Or
it's a little bit of both, actually.
Wow.
So some folks will kind of hit like the kind of swap meet circuit type of thing. You know, going to different conventions and dealer shows and things like that. But then there's other more national vendors like Ages 3 and Up. They're a big third-party Transformers dealer that we'll talk about in a little bit. It's like, wait, what's a third-party Transformer? We'll get there.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, so you'll have folks that own stores, like you said, a lot of private collectors, and then some like actual big dealers that you would see traveling to other, I guess I would say, larger conventions. Again, using air quotes on the radio.
Sure, no, that's okay. I mean, it picks up, it transfers. That's great. Okay, cool. So you'll have a full day morning. You'll have like your swap meters that kind of come out looking for collectors, is what you said, I think.
Yeah, getting those good bargains or at least stuff that's available.
Yeah,
you know, just snapping stuff up. Yeah. First thing, because a lot of folks, you know, they know what's up. It's like, I know this dealer has this stuff, and it's a small and I would say occasionally intimate collector community. You know, it's like there's a lot of folks that know each other, so everybody kind of knows what everybody's got. It's like, so what you bring into Cybefest?
Yeah.
It's like, I got an eye on that. You bring in that? You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool community here in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm excited because you have an entire stack of Devastator sitting here, and like I have like very, very strong memories of the first time. I couldn't tell you what was happening, but I remember the first time Devastator assembled on the cartoon.
Oh,
and I was like blown away that it could be such a thing.
That is one of my favorite iconic moments in the movie, where you know it's the siege of Autobot City, and you know the Megatron and his cronies have broken down all the defenses and they've killed a bunch of the good guys, and they're done for, right? They're on their last ropes, and then after that, Megatron gives this iconic line. He's like, "Constructicons, merge for the kill." And we had seen the Constructicons earlier in the show, but between the music and the animation, there's a sense of dread to it. And like they do like this slow roll transformation where, you know, it's like they form the legs and then the torso and then the head pops up and they does this slow roll. He's like, prepare for extermination. And Lionel Stander as the Elder Statesman Cup, he looks up and looks over and sees this happening and gives like one of the best line deliveries in the whole movie. He's just like, "Devastator," you know. It's just like he just like craps his pants and has like that fear and dread and reverence that we hadn't really seen in the cartoon previously.
Oh, cool.
It's one of my favorite moments in the movie. But I thought with our good buddy Nick, we chatted, and I've got a combination of a few things from my collection as well as some stuff from his collection, and I figured what we would do is we would approach this like, say, like, you ever go wine tasting or beer tasting, maybe spirits tasting, where it's like, you know, you get different expressions of the same thing. You know, we're going to try a flight of seven different bourbons or something like that. So what we've got is I've got a variety of a couple different versions of Devastator, and I figured I would just kind of go through and explain what some of these are, and we can kind of talk about it from there. How's that sound?
Great. Okay, so we're going to tell me what you're starting with here.
So we're going to start with this is what you would consider to be the original. This is a Walmart reissue of the original Generation 1 Devastator box set from 1985. This was reissued by Walmart last year, and it's a It's a facsimile duplicate of what was on store shelves. Now, I wasn't the rich kid like my friends. I never had this box set, which is why I bought it.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Yeah, I got the Constructicons individually over like several years. I think I was probably in middle school before I could actually form the Devastator from getting all the different pieces.
But. I just had Mixmaster. It was the only one. I only ever had one piece of Devastator. It was always like the dream to get that. My father was always like, "You're ridiculous. Just watch the stupid show."
Exactly. But one of the things that's always struck me about the Constructicons is just that striking lime green and purple color scheme.
Yeah, exactly. It was very iconic.
Very iconic. And so I think that's why that character kind of sticks out.
It almost looks like the Seahawks jerseys when they wear like that lime green.
Yeah,
like
on the action green.
Oh, yeah, action green. It kind of looks like that. Devastator, you are the official action green representative of the Seattle Seahawks. Unofficial, I should say.
Exactly.
That's the theme here. That's great. So that's the original Devastator.
Correct.
From the series. Okay, I mean, that doesn't do anything for anyone listening, but I understand. Like, it's the original old school early 80s version of Devastator.
What you would see on store shelves in 1985.
Crazy.
So this next thing, this is what we would politely refer to as a knockoff. This is a quick change robot fighter construction transforming system. And as you can see, it looks very similar to these guys.
So Devastator is six construction vehicles that then transform into individual characters that then transform into one super transformer.
Correct.
There's a name for it, I think, when they get to be whatever you call them.
It's a combiner or combiner. Gestalt or whatever nomenclature you want to use. They combine.
You talked about it being this classic lime green and kind of purplish blue color.
Yeah.
And then a Decepticon, one of the bad guys.
Absolutely. Decepticon.
This one is actually construction color. It's yellow and with the caution tape on it and the same pieces, looks almost exactly the same. It looks like a little cheaper, I will admit. But
yeah.
I can't believe that they were doing knockoffs like that. Three for $12.
Says. Yeah, could you imagine? Where is this Walmart reissue of this Constructicon box set? I paid $75 for it.
Oh my God. Do you ever build these?
I do sometimes. Like this one sealed in the box.
Yeah, so not that.
And I just like the aesthetic of it.
Sure.
I'm a sucker for packaging. Okay. Sometimes in the community, we refer to us as box collectors. Some of us are toy collectors. Some of us are box collectors.
Exactly.
I fit more into the box collector. So like even on this knockoff here, you can see that it's still sealed and hasn't been played with. But I like goofy aesthetic knockoffs like that. I picked that one up in a Walgreens several years ago. But you can also get them at like Tuesday mornings. Or you know wherever else you can get like cheap knockoffy type stuff that may or may not be rotten with lead paint.
But it's best not to touch them.
Exactly. So we'll move on to a different type of knockoff. This is a carded figure, and it is a representation of Devastator, as you saw in the traditional box set.
Carded means that there is a cardboard with a clamshell plastic, and you would peel like you were taking batteries.
Yeah.
Like it'll peel off like that, and so you have the full built Devastator, which again is a combiner of the six little ones put together into a big one. This one does not look like it comes apart the same way. Maybe it does?
It maybe does. And that's one we can later on crack open. Nick gave us permission to play around with that. But if you look at it, it's smaller. It's significantly smaller. It's like maybe like a 6-inch tall figure.
Yeah, it looks like about a G.I. Joe size or something like that.
Yeah, and it's the combined form of Devastator, but it looks super rickety.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like if you blow on it, it would... But there is one thing that's interesting about the engineering on it. If you take a look down by the legs, you see how there's like that clip around his hip area?
It'd be like his pelvis?
Yeah, the pelvis area, and that piece actually kind of extends down into the leg.
Oh, I see.
With a little bit of extra engineering that this, the original, doesn't have. So one of the things that you'll see in knockoffs sometimes is that they will do additional engineering that wasn't there in addition to
outright theft of
well, and you know, and not to drift into political talk too much, but you know, one of the things going on with China now with like the tariffs and things like that is IP theft, and that's what's going on. You're having a lot of like Chinese knockoff Transformers that are basically stolen versions of the molds. And
what's the Lego version, Lupin or something like that?
Something like that.
Somebody makes all of the, they have all the molds for it, and they just don't say Lego, and it's like the same exact thing, which is crazy.
Okay? Exactly.
So we've seen one legit Devastator and then two knockoffs.
Exactly. So now we're going to move into something that we call third party. Now, what third party is, at its most basic form, third-party Transformers are unlicensed figures. So these are premium format adult collectibles that are made for the adult collector market and are completely unlicensed by Hasbro. So,
I mean, this looks beautiful. It looks like it's high quality. It looks like that there's the characters are awesome. And
yeah.
It looks kind of sinister, as it should be, because Devastator is Devastator.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, and it's premium format for, again, that discerning collector. Now, you'll see on there are no insignia, so there's no Decepticon symbols. They're not referred to by their character names. It's not called Devastator, like this one is called Make Toys Giant Type -61, you know. It's just what I really enjoy about the third party Transformers manufacturers is the clever names that they come up with. It's like they'll have like a figure of Hound and they'll call him Willis, you know.
Wait a second.
or they'll have like a version of Brawn and they'll just call him like Brawny or something to where it's a really gray line, and depending upon which collector you talk to, maybe it's IP theft, maybe it isn't, but where the third-party market for Transformers came from is trying to fill a need that the official product wasn't filling.
Yeah, because do they make any of these, or do they make them again, like the one that you found at Walmart? Or
we'll get to that.
Okay,
the shortest answer is yes, but the longer answer is that third party companies were a lot of engineers from Hasbro decided, well, wait a minute, we want to make like premium format figures for, again, folks our age. They're not necessarily kids' toys. So, like, one of the things is, again, you can see a lot of Japanese and foreign writing on that box.
Yeah.
It's like you don't necessarily have to pass child safety regulations, so they're super dangerous. You know,
good.
You
yeah.
could drop them on a toddler and squish them dead or whatever. No, that's terrible. That's terrible.
But I hear what you're saying. Yeah,
but they're so you're not going to see these like at a Fred Meyer or Walmart or something. I mean, you get them online. You know, through eBay sellers,
yeah.
or
come to the con and
come yeah. to the con. Exactly.
I like that. Even the Japanese have their toys made in China here. This is Make Toys 2012 made in China, but it's definitely a Japanese product, which is crazy.
There
was a whole, maybe you could speak to this if you know about it, but I missed an opportunity. I'm sure our mutual friend, Nick,
yeah.
told me to do this and I just didn't get around to it, but I went to Japan and there's a whole like toy store district where you can go and buy this stuff on shelves and counters. All in like one big, like, I don't know, like department store-esque building. And we just didn't get there. We just ran out of time. I had to choose between that and seeing the, what do you call it, the super tall robot.
The Gundam?
Yeah, the Gundam that was set up.
Oh my gosh,
saw that, which was...
Yeah.
I mean, that's like bringing Transformers to life the way that I wanted the movie to be. Was
absolutely.
And I never read any of the Gundam manga or anything like that, but it was... That's all. But that was like a choice. But I know that the toy district in Japan is crazy for this type of stuff.
Yeah, and it was a whole market that I didn't even really know about until a couple years ago.
Cool.
And it's like, wait a sec. There's like these premium format. I mean, again, they're super expensive. They're super articulated, super detailed, and. In recent times, Hasbro has gone back and they've reinvigorated kind of like the Generation 1 aesthetic. They call it kind of evergreen designs.
Cool.
So like Optimus Prime looks like Optimus Prime. He's a red truck. Ironhide looks like a red van. You know, that, you know, the classic characters that we grew up with kind of look like the way that they're supposed to, as opposed to, you know, kind of a truck, not monkey type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, shout out to my Beast Wars friends. But so they've improved their toy engineering to the point where it's kind of like a weird arms race between third party and official. And the legacy of third party, I would say, is that it's really encouraged Hasbro and their Japanese partner Takara to really step up their engineering aesthetics to compete with unlicensed products, which is
they can't shut it down. Do they try to shut these people down? I mean, is it even worth it to try and go? I'm sure it's like impossible, especially in other countries like the Chinas of the world, to even find the people to stop them.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and I think it's kind of like at a arm's length symbiotic relationship, because it doesn't necessarily damage the brand, because it's like, you know, we're looking at this Make Toys Devastator here, and I'm sorry, Giant Type 6-1. I want to make sure and get it right, because he's not Devastator. These aren't Constructicons. But anyway, no, this definitely evokes that character, and it perpetuates that goodwill of the brand. Where it gets really crazy sometimes is like if there's, I don't know, say more risque versions of the characters. Maybe we could chat about that at a totally different time.
Sure,
There's like an RC figure that you can buy boobs for.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother arm of the fandom, you know, getting into like the hentai and all that other gross stuff.
Again, Japan though,
that's the thing. So let's move on to the official product, and this happens to be the biggest box that I brought.
Oh my god.
Oh man, that has got some heft to it.
Holy cow.
So this is Combiner Wars Devastator. And as you can see, it's quite a large box and it is open, so we will have the opportunity to play with him.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. This thing is massive.
It's massive.
I'm trying to it's like the size of a small briefcase, or of a good sized briefcase.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones are just a little bit smaller than that.
But well, I think flip it over, because I think he's got some dimensions on him and on the back. It's like 18 inches high or something.
Excuse me, 45 centimeters high. Yes.
18. Oh, my mistake.
18 inches high. I had a... Never mind, I won't say.
It's a family show.
There we go. A little off-air comment for
That's
you.
Awesome.
Oh my god, this is incredible. So this is official. I mean, yeah. I see the markers on it. I see this Transformers on the front. And then it's got... I mean, this is Devastator for real.
Yeah. So it takes... This, what we started with, where it's like, you know, each of these robots was maybe like, what, 2 inches tall, you'd say, something like that?
Yeah.
And then when you put them together, they're maybe, I don't know, maybe 6-7 inches.
Yeah.
That's what she said, but no.
Family show.
But then you take... It totally isn't. I mean, it's like, hide your children. Which is so funny, because I'm talking about all the cool activities for kids at SideQuest, but...
Different thing.
Exactly. But you take a look at this Combiner Wars Devastator, and it takes, you know, 6 Voyager-class figures and combines them into the one super robot, and he is huge, and he is impressive.
Well, I can't wait to assemble this and then be able to take some photos and post them. We will not torture everybody by making them listen to us assembling this thing, but it's
just ratcheting plastic on the air. That's
maybe
great.
We'll take a step away for a second and build this, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. But this is incredible.
Yeah,
and this is open. Someone opened this.
Yeah. So this belongs to Nick. So again, a huge shout out to our mutual friend Nick. He lent me the Make Toys Giant series and the official, and a couple of these knockoffs that you'll have the opportunity to play with. And you know what, the last thing I want to chat about kind of goes full circle. So we kind of talked about third party and how that influences what Hasbro is doing on the official side. Well, it comes back around again, where you will have third-party companies that will make what is commonly referred to as upgrade kits.
Okay,
so
cool.
So what I've got here is a couple boxes of bonus accessories and doodads. Like extra heads, a couple more articulated hands.
Oh, with like LED lights and stuff. I think I saw some of this on the SideFest NW Facebook page. There's some pictures, and like there was one of the Dinobots, and there was like LED looking flame shooting out of its mouth. And so that must be like one of these upgrades.
Yeah. So it's a third party upgrade kit. So that is not a Hasbro product, but it's engineered to work in concert with an official Hasbro product. So like, isn't that crazy?
So like there's like a hand and you can see the individual finger joints that like make it look like it's a little bit more of a robot rather than just kind of like a bulky hand with a hole in it that you put that you drop the gun into.
Yeah.
Wow, so there's so it's like aftermarket parts for a official release.
Yeah, it's like buying a glass pack for your Mustang.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly the same. And that's very common, especially with the premium series combiners. Like, you know, you can buy like, you know, extra like, you know, wings for your Predaking figure or like bigger swords, bigger guns. As you said, LED lights. You can go bonkers with that. In fact, this guy is a completely different third-party upgrade kit to where you can make your Devastator looks like he does in the IDW comic books, where Prowl, the Highway Patrol Autobot good guy, takes control of the Devastator robot and wrecks some hell. So that's something where like a third-party company has taken something from the comic books and brought it to life to combine with the official Hasbro figure. So that's it. I mean, the play patterns on this stuff is just endless. It's crazy.
Okay, so this is incredible. I can't wait to see what this big guy looks like all assembled. That's super crazy.
Yes.
Let's talk about Cybfest here.
Absolutely.
A little bit. So
you want me to take some of those off your hands? You look like you're
just like holding all these
overwhelmed with all of these boxes. They are quite large.
There we go.
Now perfect.
We're building barriers between us with giant toy boxes. You don't understand. Mike showed up with a chewy box from ordering cat food
really
or whatever,
is.
Full of boxes of just Devastator stuff, which is crazy. We're just talking about one of the most iconic, but one series of robots here from the Transformers universe, and happens to be incredible. Did they ever use any of the... any of these in the Michael Bay films? Did they ever do Devastator?
Oh my gosh, that is a sore spot of contention for me. In the second live action film, Revenge of the Fallen, they do a version of Devastator. There's this climactic battle in Egypt, I think it is. Yeah, because he's like climbing a pyramid or whatever. And the concept is kind of cool, where it's like six different construction vehicles, and instead of like a giant robot, they kind of form into like a monster looking thing.
Okay.
You know, he's kind of hunched over and very monstrous, has like a giant drill face.
But it doesn't look Gundam.
It does not look like a Gundam at all. It just looks like a hulking beast. But it gave one of the most cringeworthy moments of that franchise. So the Devastator is climbing on one of the pyramids, and John Turturro's character, Agent Simmons, is looking up, and you can see a pair of wrecking balls clanging back and forth, and he's like, I'm underneath the enemy scrotum. This is an actual line.
Sorry that I'm not responding
in a PG-13
audibly,
movie,
but it's like
it hurts my heart.
That is
that's
a real kick in the nuts there, Transformers. Thanks, Michael Bay. You really did it to us.
Yeah,
you ruined the thing I love as a child.
Yep.
Okay. So Cybfest.
Yes.
Again, let me just hit the basics on it. July 27th at Kent Commons Community Center. Find out more, CybfestNW.com. Facebook.com/CybfestNW is probably an even easier way to get more about that. You're going to have dealers there selling things like some of the stuff that we just talked about here. You'll have what else happening at Cybfest?
Well, you'll have, as I mentioned, trivia contests, costume contests, raffles. Like I know some of the folks I've connected with, they've gone to other fan conventions and bought exclusives.
Cool.
And brought them back as raffle items for Cybfest. There's also going to be a number of panels, some of which I can't mention right now because they haven't been officially announced, but will most likely include a panel that I will be hosting.
Great.
Tentatively titled The Legacy of the Transformers, the Movie, where I'm going to talk about kind of some of the Easter eggs and other references in pop culture. Like, you know, one of the most iconic things about Transformers, the Movie is that song, You Got the Touch, right?
You got the touch.
Exactly. And
you got the power.
But a lot of folks know that from Boogie Nights, right? From Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Not me.
But it's one of those crazy things where I'll say it's like, you know that song is from Transformers the movie, right? Originally written for the Sylvester Stallone movie Cobra.
Oh, interesting.
Way back in the day. So a couple little nuggets and trivia kind of like that. But yeah, I'm not sure what the other panels are going to be.
That's fine. So there'll be panels.
There are going to be a variety of panels. And yeah, there's going to be local independent artists that will be doing commissions.
Cool.
And selling prints, like Ben Hansen, 1314. He's a huge national Transformers artist. He's got some of his art has been featured in the new Transformers trading card game from Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's just gonna be a really fun time. It's gonna be great.
Is he based here? Do you know?
Yeah, he's local. I don't remember exactly where he lives, but yeah, he's local.
I might need an intro because I might want to take this another step nerdier and have another person
Absolutely.
Even tell me about drawing Transformers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can connect you with a couple few different artists that are local for sure. Or you can just come to Cybefest on Saturday, July 27th at the Kent Commons Community Center right across from the Showware and see the scene for yourself.
Okay, a couple questions to ask you before we get out of here.
Of course.
You said costumes. Do people like cosplay, like full-on build cardboard Transformer suits to wear around? Is that a thing that happens?
That's a thing. I don't know if I've seen incredibly elaborate ones at Cybefest, yeah. But like I'll see there's a conceit in the comics, a trope, I guess, called holoforms. In the comics where basically like they'll do like a holographic representation of themselves as a human. So it's like when they go to like infiltrate or something like that, they'll have like a lot of those. And those are kind of some fun variations on some of your classic characters.
Sure.
So I see a lot of cosplay as holoforms because it's a little easier, but I do see some cardboard there for sure.
I got some friends that are cosplay people and that's like they build and they have their own EVA foam and like all this stuff. And I really want to build. So let's get to the next question because then I'll circle back around. Favorite Transformer for you? What's your personal favorite Transformer? It can be a couple if you don't have it.
Oh, I mean, it's I mentioned it earlier. It's got to be Soundwave.
Same.
And it's interesting because like I like Soundwave for a lot of reasons, but I think the most iconic thing about him is that iconic voice, you know, where it's Frank Welker doing the voice act. He's doing the Dr. Claw voice from Inspector Gadget.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
And then
next time.
Yes, thank you. Show over.
Yeah, I could call and respond all ding dong day on that. But yeah, no, so he's just doing the Dr. Claw voice, but then they run it through a vocoder. So it has kind of like this weird electronic, otherworldly kind of sing song texture to
How
it.
How did you find this out?
Oh gosh! Just the internet.
Yeah, sure.
No, I think
I want you to know I've spent. This is an idea that someone will definitely steal from me now that I'm saying it publicly.
Of course.
But I've spent a considerable amount of time trying to figure out how to make the Soundwave sound because I wanted to have a goof where Soundwave was out of work, and so he's intern Soundwave, and I could be like, Soundwave, come on, freshen up the coffee. Could you hurry with it? I don't have an intern.
Yeah.
But then have him like respond, but it's impossible to get the voice right, and if you don't, it sounds really.
It sounds really dumb, and it's really. I mean, there's a couple plugins that you can put into your editing software, but yeah, it's like you got to get it just right because it's definitely iconic. But I love that where it's like it's like Soundwave make. Fresh coffee, and he'd like
Soundwave.
He'd be like, and he would deploy his little buddies.
Yeah,
right? he's got like Rumble and Frenzy and Ravage and Laserbeak, and he'd be like Ravage. I just need to stop and just let you do those are some killer voices, dude.
We'll see. I mean, I can only do like a couple things, and one of them happens to be Dr. Claw, so you kind of just made my day saying that I could turn this into. So now I just got to actually go back and do the actual research.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to come to Cybefest and talk to people there that might
there
know,
you go.
Know how
there
to
you
do
go.
That. Oh, man.
Operation Refreshment.
I have some friends that do cosplay, and they're called Zach Labs, just a free plug for any,
totally.
For Brian and Hannah and the gang.
I would love to
I feel like if you're gonna make cosplay good of a Transformer, it just so happens that Soundwave would also be a good one to do because he's very boxy.
Yeah.
And so it's like less like you know, small technical details and stuff. Mm-hmm. But just building those legs and stuff is like pretty awesome, but it would be very hard. So maybe one of these years, like as my kid gets a little older, we can build something together and
that would be great.
And then go to a side fest together like that.
Well, see, no, I've got the perfect idea for you, and you can definitely go to our friends at Zach Labs for this. So you be Soundwave, and then you have the little one as like Rumble or like one of the tapes.
Rumble.
Okay. So good.
I just got to add some vocoding to it, and then we'll see. Maybe I'll go back and post and even do that. Okay, so it's Cybefest Northwest. It's July 27th, 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. All the details you can find yourself by just going to the website, cybefestnw.com, or search for it on Facebook /CybefestNW. Again, Cybe is like Cybertron, C-Y-B, or Cybertronian Festival.
There it is.
Nice. And he's Mike Seibert. The Mike Seibert Radio Podcast is what you can look for in the podcast of your podcaster of your podcast catcher of your choice, whatever there that is. Like the Overcast app or the Apple Store on SoundCloud. You can definitely subscribe to that. Leave a positive comment that you heard him on our show here and help him move up the ratings a little bit as well. Absolutely. It always helps out if you can do that. Again, it's the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast, SEIBERT for Googling that. Mike's a lot of fun. He does a lot of cool independent stuff here in the Pacific Northwest. Thanks for hanging out with us.
This was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for carrying all these boxes upstairs.
We're going to have fun trying to get this back down out the elevator. Make good choices.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at Hey Gregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.